morning. I was going to open up by apologizing that I have to run out early to catch a flight. Now I'd like to say I have to run out early to try to catch a flight. When I was first contacted by Rabbi Brand, he said, you know, maybe a Pesach topic. I said, well, you know, we begin Nisan this week. You know, I'll speak about Chodesh HaAviv. It's that, you know, spring is here, and yes. This is what happens when you come to Chicago in the summer. You don't realize what goes on the rest of the time. So the topics I like to speak about is Birchas HaIlanos. Everybody's making a big deal at this point. We had just had a big Yom Iyun in NYU about Birchas HaChama. Once every 28 years, we celebrate nature by having this special bracha. So I think as we get all excited over this really small, unexciting bracha, people forget that every single year we celebrate nature by having a bracha called Birchas Ilanos, which never gets its own Yom Iyun, never gets any press. So I just wanted to speak a little bit about this bracha, which we have every year at this wonderful time of year, as you see the trees are blossoming, Shkedia Parachat, Hashemesh Pazarachat, etc. This bracha gets a line in the Gemara and Brachas. Those of you who have the packets can take a look at number one. The key line is the middle line. I give you the line before and after for some context, which becomes important perhaps later. Amar Mazutra Hayman Demorach Be'esrogo B'chavusha Amar Baruch Nosan Reach Tov L'Peros. Gemara tells us there's a bracha that you make when you smell a fragrant fruit. Omer Rav Yehuda, Haiman de Nofik biyomei Nisan, vechazi iloni de kamalav levi, omer bosh lo chisa balama klum, uvarva brios tovos, vilonos tovos, lehisanos bahem b'nei adam. When a person goes out in Nisan and sees that the trees are beginning to bloom, a person makes a special bracha, a nice long bracha, where they say shlo chisa balama klum, that God does not leave anything out of the world, varva brios tovos, he made good creations, ilanos tovos, good trees, lisanos behem b'nei adam, in order that man can enjoy it. Amar Rav Zutra, Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, minayim shemevorchim al reyach. How do you know you make a bracha? When you smell besamim? Shenemar, kol neshama tal ka. Eizu dovah shenashama nanis menu? What's something that your spirit enjoys, as opposed to your physical body? Vein aguf nanem yanu? Havi omen zeha reyach. Smell. You don't get any, there's no calories in smell, but you get a certain enjoyment out of it. So the key line here is the middle line, that when you go out in Nisan and you see the trees are blooming, there is a special bracha that one is supposed to make. It's a real bracha, it even appears in art scroll. This is for real. The Rishonim don't talk a lot about it. The Shita Mitkubetz's comments, Haiman de Nafik Biyoma de Nisan, the Kavru Bracha Zulafishu Inyan Shabar Mizman Lizman. Why do we make this bracha? So, if I had to compare it to another bracha, the Shita Mekubetza says, it's like a Shechianu. Shechianu, when a person reaches a certain stage of the year, that you know, you're grateful that we made it till Pesach, that we get to do these mitzvahs one more time a year, that the new fruits are out there, you make a bracha of Shechianu. So too, the bracha that we make on the trees is similar to that. It's a bracha on the time of the year, it's a bracha on the fact that we, once again, we have survived the winter and we have made it to spring. That is what the Shita Mekubetza says. And the Shita Mekubetza also comments something that is not necessarily obvious. You might take it for granted. V'hi b'shem ha-malchus. You'll note that the Gemara never says, you say, Baruch ato Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam. But rather, it just says, Baruch. Without the dot, 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 obviously noticeable. So the Shita Mekubetza indicates that, no, this isn't just a nice line. You say, this is an actual bracha, b'shem ha-malchus. You say the Shem Hashem and the melech olam. The Halachos Katanos is asked, well, what point of the tree do we have to be at? Is it when it just first begins to flower? Or no, is it when you actually the first bud, the bud that's going to become a fruit when that comes out? And he answers that, in fact, that it's when it becomes a bud. When you just see flowers, that's not enough. Rather, you actually have to be clear that there is fruit coming up. And the Halachos Katanos in the last line makes the point clear, which is important, that since we're talking about buds that become fruits, this bracha that the Gemara never really was clear about has to be on a fruit-bearing tree. A regular maple tree, elm tree, whatever tree, has nice leaves that begins to bud, you don't make the bracha on that. It has to be specifically a fruit-bearing tree. This is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Hayotze b'yimei Nisan v'ro yivono shimotzim perach. Omer baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melech haolam shelochis v'om ha'klum v'varvo b'rios tovos v'yonos tovos v'yonos v'yonos v'hem b'nei adam. Basically, word for word, the exact same bracha as appears in the Gemara. The last leheyanos, lehisanos, there's a little difference there. No, different. Ve'im baruch el par achas b'chol shona v'im'icher v'varech ad achas shegidlo ha'peres lo yivarechod. You have to make this once a year. There's a trivia question. Name four brachas that we in Chutzlitz make once a year every year. So anyone can anyone take a guess of the other three?
Yom Kippur.
What about Yom Kippur?
Lighting candles.
That might be true, but what if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Does that in some years? That's a different bracha, isn't it? Well, unless it's Shabbos. It's Chag Nishal Shabbos for Yom Kippur. Chris and Megillah, you make twice. But besides that, it's once. Yeah. Anybody? So one of them I'm usually here for, Nachem. Nachem on Tisha B'Av is a once a year every year. Bedikas Chametz. Albir Chametz is once a year every year. And the Brachi make on Yom Kippur after Baruch Hu. That's also a once a year. So this is one of the rare brachas that you make once a year, every year. In Israel, of course, there are a lot more of them. Alachias Matzah, Alachias Maror, Kiyah Shofar, Zlethin. Actually, that's twice a year in Israel also. Other ones as well. But this you make once a year, and you have to do it at a time before the fruit has already grown. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes what we said from the Rishonim Halacha. One, that it has to be when you see the bud. Two, beyond that, also it has to be a fruit-bearing tree. The Sefer HaParnas, which is a Rishon from around the time of Rashi, makes an interesting point. The Sefer HaParnas says, take a look at the context of the Gemara. It's kind of an odd context. Right beforehand, we were talking about what? Fragrant fruits, the growth, the bracha you make, the Birchas HaReach. Afterwards, we're talking again about Birchas Hareach. So what's this line of the Gemara? It seems to be an interloper. Now, if you're just going to discuss random brachas, that's fine. But there seems that this isn't random brachas. There's a section here about Birchas Hareach. And somehow this bracha falls in to the Gemara's discussion about brachas you make on smell. So the Sefer HaParnas says, Hai man denofu b'yom enisam pam rishonu b'shana v'chaz yon demolav v'lishamotzin reach tov. When you see a fruit-bearing tree that smells good, then you say, Mevorach Brucha Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, etc. So unlike the Shita Mekubetzes, which says that the reason that we are making the bracha is because it's a bracha on the time of the year, that we're so happy that we've reached Nisan, look how nice the weather is, isn't it wonderful now that we've come to springtime? But rather, this is a Birchas Hareach. Everyone has ever seen the cherry blossoms, the orange blossoms, besides being very beautiful, they smell wonderful. So therefore, the Sefer HaParnas is saying that the reason this isn't the case that we're making a bracha because of the time of the year. This isn't like a Birchas Hachama, that we're at the time of the year, that nature, that the moon is in the seventh sun, and we're entering the age of Aquarius. This is nothing special like that. What it is, rather, is that we have now we have an opportunity for a smell that happens once a year, and that is the smell of the trees blossoming. A totally different approach to the bracha. Now, we'll just skip over to number 8. There is a third opinion, which would seem to be the most off-the-wall part of it. However, if you look at this opinion, actually, you'll see it's accepted by many people. It's a little strange. The Sefer is called the Avos HaKosh HaChida. People are familiar with the Chida, Chaim Yosef David Azulai, who's related to Azulai in the shul, he tells me. Whenever I ask him, and even if I don't, I'll make that clear. So the Chida was a great Talmud Chacham, lived around 100 years ago, and for a living, he was actually a Meshulach. So he used to travel the world collecting money for yeshivas, and wherever he went, he would go to the libraries, and he would read up all the Svarim, and he had a tremendous memory. And he would write up all these interesting things that he found. So some of his Svarim are standard. He has a Tshuva Sefer, Shir Chaim Shol. He has a parish on the Gemara. He has, but a lot of things are just random things that I happen to run into while reading in the library, and don't you think this is interesting? And which makes it near impossible to find anything that in his farm. I was in Eretz Yisrael, I think it was 2 years ago, and I was at a used farm store, for 10 shekel they had a Midbar Kedemos. And I figured, oh, for 10 shekel, the time was $2, $3, whatever it was, I'm going to pick up the Midbar Kedemos. What's the Midbar Kedemos? It's one of the Chidos Svarim. And in it, he discusses, it's random facts set up by Aleph Beis. And if you get to Dalet, he talks about Doug. He talks about the Jewish approach to mermaids. So that itself, if it was worth $3. That's worth it. So, in Avos HaKodesh is very similar. It's just a long list of random information. So in this Sefer, he discusses Birchas Ilanos. He has two paragraphs. So, Kuf Tzadi Ches, Yishtadol Levorach Birchas Ilanos Bimei Nisan. You try to make the bracha during Nisan. V'amedakta Gimakpidin Shiyu B'Nisan Dafka. And should be specifically Nisan. Not earlier, not later. Why Nisan? V'yushtei Ilanos Yotzen V'Sodol Levorach. And it has to be two trees together. Not that, but you have to go to the field to make the bracha. So I was in Kerem B'Yavne. I remember Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Rosh Hashiva, would walk us out to the fields. And Kerem B'Yavne is right next to Kibbutz Yavne, and there are lots of fields and lots of trees. And I remember just about any tree is far better than any tree we could find in America to make the bracha on. Definitely better than we can find in Manhattan to make the bracha on. The Rosh would pick the exact one, and we'd make the bracha on it. So the question is, why this kapeda? So he explains in the next paragraph, Ma'odis atzim b'kavanos b'birchazu. Be very, very careful with the kavanah you have when you make this bracha. Why? She latikun haneshama shimu gugulos be'atzei hasodeh. Be'asavim. Why? Because this is mesakein the neshamos. I can translate the words, I can't explain what it means. There are people that come back as gilgulim. They're reincarnated as trees and as grass. And then when you make this bracha during Nisan, it is very helpful for them. And therefore, you shall say tefillah on their behalf. A very interesting idea, so it's off topic. But the concept of Gilgul in general is not something that we always accept. The majority of the standard medieval Jewish philosophers, the Rishonim, meaning Rav Sajagon, the Sefer Yikarim, Yosef Albo, deny that we believe in Gilgulim at all. They say just logically it doesn't make any sense. Right? The purpose of us coming into life is that the neshama should enter the body in order that it can be Makayim Mitzvahs. But once it did it once, it's been real, it's been fun. Thanks for coming. That's the end of it. There's no sense in coming back. And for sure, they would say there's no sense in coming back as an animal. Kal v'chomer, there's no sense in coming back as a tree. What are you going to do as a tree? So the Mekubalim, however, came up with this idea that there is something called Gilgul, and that seems to be the majority opinion. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah paskens is such a thing as Gilgul. Twice it comes up. The Mishnah Berurah, you wouldn't have expected it, discusses Gilgul. So the standard thought, which is the thought of the Arizal, which he has in his Hakdamot L'Shara Mitzvahs, is that we all know the first half of this. That there are 613 mitzvahs, keneged, there are 365 sinews, and 248 evarim. 248 positive commandments, keneged the evarim, 365 keneged the sinews. I don't even begin to guess know what a sinew is, but we have 365 of them. That's the extent of my knowledge about them. And that we all know. Right? Everyone must have heard that at some point. However, he goes on further. He says there is a connection between each mitzvah and each part of the body. And a person has to do all 365 mitzvos at some point in their life. And if they don't do all 365 mitzvos, then they have to come back for a curtain call. Right? Then they have to come back as a gilgul. Now, it's impossible for anyone to do all 365. You can't be a kohen and a man and a woman at the same time. There's mitzvos that some people have that people don't have. So therefore, by necessity, everybody is coming back multiple times according to this idea, the end of the Arizal. So okay, if you accept that, that's one thing. That does not begin to explain, actually, what good you're doing coming back as an apple tree. Like, which mitzvah weren't you Mekayim that makes you come back as an apple tree? I'm not sure. But anyhow, the Chidah says that's the reason for this bracha. The reason that we have this bracha is in order that the people that are megulgal in the trees, somehow we can help them out. So we basically, at this point, have three approaches as what's the bracha for. One is the standard thought that I think most people would have, that we are celebrating spring. Much like we do Birchas HaChama, celebrating the creation, so too here, we are celebrating the spring has come, we see the trees budding, that's good. The second one is, no, it's a Birchas HaReach, that there's a smell that comes up with this, and that's it's definitely as good as the cloves that we smell on Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, that deserves a bracha. And the third one seems to be this somewhat off-base approach, you know, the Kabbalistic approach that somehow has to do with the special neshamas that are embedded in the trees. Rav Yaakov Emden, in the Morik Tzia, which is on number 7, for those of you who turned the page too early, says that there is an important difference between all these. We had said earlier on, we quoted from the Halachos Gedolos, that it has to be a fruit-bearing tree. Now, the fact that it has to be a fruit-bearing tree, according to which of the answers does that make sense?
One.
One maybe. One maybe not. All trees come and blossom in the spring. Two? Three, I definitely couldn't even begin to guess on. So Rav Yaakov Emden comes up with this idea that he doesn't think that's true. He thinks that you can make birchas ilanos even on a non-fruit-bearing tree, even on ilanei srak. He said, "Amnam brachas shelo chiser ba'olamo v'lai yishon shavachem gam aleim kisharo osam b'tchila b'meinisim beis chidushim k'dershem avarach ha'ilanei srak with the lavavi." Said, "Yeah, even ilanei srak. Ilanei srak is the opposite is a non-fruit-bearing tree." And in fact, Rav Yaakov Emden is of the opinion that you can make this bracha on any tree. La halacha, what do we assume? So, turning the page now to the more modern poskim, the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, passed away recently, great gadol. So he says, "Ubenogeya im levarach al ilanei srak." And regarding whether you can make a bracha on a non-fruit-bearing tree, kvo tarasa, meaning the person who's asking the question, you think you can. Parentheses. Where do you get it from? From Rav Yaakov Emden in the Moro Ketzia that we just read. He said everybody disagrees with this. We will only make the bracha on a fruit-bearing tree. And he lists off people who say this, including the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, etc. He said, and therefore, bottom line is not. Second paragraph said so, but he said, "Umasher kosov, v'divrei shita mekubetza shekosov b'shem aritma shekover brachu zeh l'fishu inyan mechudosh she'adam avarach al eitzim yaveshim she'africh makosh baruchu." He said, but you turn to me and you say the reason for it is really number one, to indicate the season is here, and the season is indicated by the blooming of trees. And it does not matter if the trees are fruit-bearing or not. All trees bloom. So why should it make a difference? So I don't think you're right that they're also talking about a non-fruit-bearing tree. Why? So the giveaway is the last words. What do we say? Le'he'anos behem b'nei Adam. What did God do? He created brios tovos, v'ilanos tovos. He made the great creations, the great trees. Why not that we should get hana from it? What does it mean, hana? We're Jewish. Hana means to eat. Right? I just look at the tree and say, ma no'e l'anzeh, chayim misa for that. Right? But to eat, that's what you're supposed to do. So therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer takes the opinion that, obviously, it's only by fruit-bearing trees that we make the bracha. Interesting, the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, basically agrees, but he has a little twist on it. He's asked the question, well, what if somebody made a bracha on a tree, then you find out it's not fruit-bearing. You go make another bracha. So, to phrase it more in our terms, when I make a bracha, how wrong is Rav Yaakov Emden? Is he so wrong that we assume that that was a bracha of Atola, now you might as well make a new bracha? Or are we concerned that maybe he's right? What do you say, Bert?
I say we don't make another bracha.
I say the Rav Vosner, he's with you on this one. You haven't been reading ahead, have you?
Maybe.
Okay. So Rav Vosner says that ultimately the purpose of the bracha is to praise God for that which He has done, and obviously that is should be done by a fruit-bearing tree. However, in the event that you got it wrong and the tree that you thought was bearing fruit was not the one bearing fruit, then you've got somewhat of a problem. But don't make another bracha. That at least to the extent that we are a little bit concerned that maybe he's right, we leave it at that. So it should be a fruit-bearing tree, and if you get it wrong, try not to get it wrong, don't make another bracha. Next issue. How seriously are you about this Nisan thing? So it's very interesting in the poskim. So I haven't been... It's fine when I... When Rabbi Brand called me last night to give me the weather report, I said to him, I guess we're going to cancel that part when we go afterwards out to the tree and make the bracha together. I guess that's not going to happen. Right? So as things look right now, there is probably a reasonable possibility that no fruit trees are really going to be blossoming in the next few weeks. So a major concern, particularly when Nisan comes earlier in the solar year, is that perhaps you're not going to get a fruit-bearing tree until after Nisan. Is that okay? The discussion that most of the poskim have here, believe it or not, is what if you see a tree earlier than Nisan? Particularly the Shkedia. Because Shkedia parachat, Tashemesh pazaracha, Tziporim barosh kol gag, na-na-na-na, tu b'shvat. Right? So, obviously, the Shkedia is parachat a month and a half ago. So if I have a shkedia, an almond tree, can I make the bracha before Nisan, or do I have to wait until Nisan? And this is, of course, relevant to us, who may not have a fruit-bearing tree on Nisan, or maybe not until Iyar. Or Sivan. I don't know what it's looking like here. For all those in internet land who are listening to this year, it's snowing. Let me just fill them in on that. So the Ritva says... In Rosh Hashanah, hide the nafik biyomei Nisan. Pirush bracha zu b'shem malchus. Elo shah Talmud kotzer biyomei Nisan lav dafka. El kol makom makom fi mashu malavuvi. Says when it says Nisan, it doesn't really mean Nisan. The reason the Gemara says Nisan is because that's when it usually happens. But let's say I'm in South Africa. Let's say I'm in Chile. So when do the trees bloom there? Well, I guess Tishrei, I imagine. Right? If you're in the southern hemisphere, everything's so they can never make the bracha. So the Ritva says, no, Nisan doesn't mean Nisan. Nisan means whenever it happens to happen. And, you know, where the Jews tend to be, it tends to happen in Nisan. But Nisan's Lav Davka. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha, number 12, Bimei Nisan, Orcha de Milcha Nelkat She'oz Derech Arzo Sachamim Lavlev Haranos, Ruadim Bechodesh Acher, Kol Shiro Halivruv Hamrishon Mevarech. When you first see it, that's fine. That's when it gets done. This is the general assumption. This is what most poskim hold, that it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Take a look at the Yechav Adas. It's very interesting. Yechav Adas was written by Rav Avadya Yosef. And this is Cheok Aleph Simon Aleph. This is his very first tshuva. See, it's an important topic. Haroa b'chodesh shvat ha'ada pirchei ilonos malavavim shel eight pri kagon pirchei hashkedia im yuchal levarach pirchas ilonos o ein brachas pirchas ilonos noeges el b'chodesh nisan. The first question Rav Avadya ever published on: what's the deal? When we talk about Nisan, is it only Nisan or is it even earlier? Again, this is a Mid-Eastern type of tshuva. They're worried about earlier. Earlier has never been a problem here. So obviously truncated a little bit, cutting to the bottom line. Lefichach nira, shel inyan alochu l'maisa l'chachil, ein levarach b'chodesh adar. El yamtim l'chodesh nishan, k'dei yotzit tei chovetz kol adeos. He said the best thing to do is, if all else being equal, tree's going to be there, wait until Nisan. K'mo k'chodz b'shut v'yichi Yaakov, chen hagon harishon l'tzion, b'shut mishmatei uziyom. This is before... Rav Avadya was the Rishon Letzion. Rav Ben Tzion Chai Uziel was the Rishon Letzion. Interesting, there seems to be anyone who follows the chief Sephardic rabbi, the Rishon Letzion, they all have something in common. Rav Uziel, Rav Nisin, Rav Ben Meir, Rav Yosef, and that being, they all have last names that's someone else's first name. And that's like a prerequisite to being the Rav Rashi. At one point they were suing Bo Derek for the job that she had that didn't work out for whatever reasons. Didn't have Israeli citizenship. The whole thing fell apart. So even the Benzin Chayuzil, everybody says that. She'ainena rosh shelo rabbeinu Yerushalayim she'medaktikin tamid levarach b'chazos b'nisan dafka. You should wait to Nisan. But how many could be v'nimukam imam? There's reasons for this. Avam. Well, nizdam levarach b'chazos ad she'yotza Nisan. Aye, but let's say you're in a situation where you don't see it until after Nisan. Rishay levarach b'chazos b'chodesh year. Year is also good. Well, yavi bracha yikar zomiyado. The person should not lose out on this fine bracha. So the bottom line is that the Rabbi Avadya says absolutely, if you don't get it in Nisan, you do it afterwards, you still make the bracha. That's not a problem. The only people that really seem to be mocking on this Nisan thing, if you look through all the tshuvas, are the Mekubalim. The Mekubalim are very into Nisan, not earlier, not later, because that's when the neshamas are ripe. So Rav Avadya, who discusses this, Rav Avadya is a Sfaradi, so he'll give more weight to the Zohar than other people might. He says, you know, that's interesting and all, but all else being equal, you can still make the bracha afterwards, don't worry about it. But Tzvi Pesach Frank, in his Har Tzvi, has an unbelievable question based on this. So the question is, how does this bracha work? According to some people, it's only in Nisan. According to other people, it's not nothing to do with Nisan. It's whenever it happens to happen. My nafkamina, besides other months, women. Is it a mitzvah sasesha asman grama? Is it a time-bound positive mitzvah? Right? Women, by and large, are exempt from mitzvah sasesha asman grama. What? This is definitely in mitzvah sasei. But is it Zman Grama? Now, even if it would happen in a certain time of year, so there is a concept out there that not everything that happens at a certain time is time-bound. For example, Sviras HaOmer. Sviras HaOmer, we generally assume, is not a mitzvah sasesha Zman Grama. Why? It always starts on the same day. It always goes until the same day. Well, how can it not be? The idea is because it's not really time-bound. It happens to fall out, but it has nothing to do with the calendar. It goes from Pesach till Shavuos. Now, that happens to fall out the same base on the calendar every year, but it's not the calendar that's driving it. Kiddush Levana. You can make it when the moon is a certain way. Now, that happens to happen in the calendarically the same time every month. But it's not because of the calendar that you do this. So, even if it is supposed to be, if it would happen to fall out, it's supposed to be whenever the trees bloom, and the trees always bloom at the same time, still women should have to do it. So the Har Tzvi wants to know, what's the story with women in the Drachot? Are women chayiv in it? And further still, can women volunteer to do it? Why not? So you'll see. Stay tuned. So he said, Nisarati lachko, Raman doma di yom enisa dafka, inoshim isinu bevrachazu. So Tzvi Pesach Frank says, I was wondering, according to the opinion that the bracha is only in Nisan, does that mean that women are putter from it? Does that mean it's not related to the season, it's related to the month, therefore women would not do it? And even though, unless you can only do it in the day, not during the night, still, you can do it the next day. Who says that anything to do it today? You call Makam Haray Ke'enze Hikshu Tosuf the Kedushin. Dim Tomar Ma'itzuch Kram, the Gemara Limute, Noshim Tamulom, the Kulam Mitzvah Sensation's Man Grama Havel. Tere Enim Nahag Sala Bayam. The Hikshu of Megillah, Ke'er Yisri La Turi Oven, Shamucha de Mikra Bikurim Noeg Balaila. If not, prepare come to Bikurim, etc. I'll explain this outside, it'll be a little easier. So, Mikra Bikurim. Here comes a time around Shavuot time when we come Salinu al Ktefeinu Rashinu Aturim Vikzot Haaretz Banu Hevenu Bikurim, that we come with our Bikurim and we bring it to the Beis HaMikdash in a wonderful ceremony. And when we bring our Bikurim, there's something called Mikra Bikurim. There are certain Psukim that we have in Parshas Ki Tzavo, thank you, where that you have to read when you bring your Bikurim. So what about women? Do women bring the Bikurim? So the Gemara says that women can bring, but they don't read the Bikurim. They bring it without reading the Pesukim. Why? There's a drasha for it. So the Torah Yavan asks, well, wait a second, there's a time limit. I can only bring Bikurim from Shavuos until Sukkos. And then from Sukkos to Chanukah, I can bring my Bikurim, but I can't say the Pesukim. So why do I need Pesukim, a special pasuk to say that women are not chayv in Mikra Bikurim? Isn't it a mitzvah saseh shas man grama? It's a positive mitzvah, and it has to be done specifically between Shavuos and Sukkos, or Shavuos and Chanukah. So shouldn't that do it? So Tur Yevon explains the idea that we mentioned earlier, that no, that even though this falls out on the same time of the year, you have to bring Mikra Bikurim at the time when people are still gathering things from the field. So they happen to be gathering things in, that does not make it a time-bound mitzvah. So therefore, he says that this, which is really not related to the calendar, but it's related to when the trees are blooming, women should be chayv in the bracha. However, he raises a fascinating chasam sofer. Ubechuvas chasam sofer, maybe shanoshim ein mevorches birchas hachama. How do you like that? The chasam sofer says the minhag was that women don't say the birchas hachama. Why not? So the chasam sofer himself asks, I understand. Da'afal pi the tamasham that my nogu noshim levar brachazu al kach kavanosu the haim da'afal pi the petiri mikomakam ready kvar nogu kaim gam mitzvah shlonis chayv b'hem. So he says, I don't understand. One is women are probably chayv, but even if they're not chayv, so let them volunteer. The minhag Ashkenaz is that if a woman shakes the lulav, even though she's not chayv to shake the lulav, she makes a bracha on it. Svardim disagree, but we assume that a woman, not only do they have a right and are encouraged to volunteer mitzvahs, but they also have a right to make brachas on those mitzvahs. So the Chasam Sofer has a tremendous chiddush. So the Chasam Sofer says, you know what the reason is? Women can make a bracha on a mitzvah they volunteer if there's one thing is the mitzvah which they volunteer, and then they make a bracha on it. However, if the entire mitzvah is the bracha, then women cannot volunteer, according to this. So, taking Birchas Hachama, which is what he was discussing, what is the mitzvah of Birchas Hachama? It's a bracha, that's the entire mitzvah. There's no singing, no dancing, there's nothing that's supposed to eat, don't go to buy a t-shirt. That's it, just the bracha, that's the whole nine yards. So therefore, he says, women can, if they're not chayiv, they can't even volunteer it. So too, he would think perhaps here as well. If women are not chayiv, they can't even volunteer it. And further still, he gives another case which might come up even more often than this, and that is Havdalah. The mitzvah of Havdalah is what? The bracha. Hamavdil ben kodesh v'chol. So therefore, he quotes in the Magen Avraham that perhaps women should always be yotze with someone else to make Havdalah. Because if Havdalah is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, Havdalah is a very tricky case. Because in the one, the question is, what is Havdalah? Is Havdalah related to Shabbos, or is Havdalah related to Motzei Shabbos? Is it a matter of that we're Mekadesh the Yom when it comes in with Kiddush, and we're Mekadesh going out with Havdalah, therefore it's related to Shabbos? Or is it no, on the first Saturday night of creation, Adam HaRishon created fire, and because of that, every Motzei Shabbos, we commemorate it by having this ceremony with fire. What's the difference? The difference is women. Women are chayiv in everything that is Shabbos. So Shomer v'zachar b'dibrecha, zachar v'shomer really b'dibrecha nemra. And therefore, Misha yeshno b'shmira yeshno b'zachira, that whoever is chayiv in the los aseis of Shabbos is chayiv in the aseis of Shabbos. I mean, that women do everything that's related to Shabbos, and just like they do Kiddush, they would have to do Havdalah. Or is it no? Is this Havdalah happens to fall out of Motzei Shabbos every week, but has nothing to do with Shabbos, it's related to Motzei Shabbos. So the Mogen Avram says that if women are not chayiv in Havdalah, perhaps they can't even volunteer it, because that is the entire bracha. Bottom line, what does the Har Tzvi hold? So, me'ata ne'hadah l'didon, so there's nothing to talk about, because it's not Zman Grama. We assume you could always make it, not only in Nisan. Therefore, women are chayiv, so the entire discussion doesn't even get off the floor. After some of the yomim nisim dafkaninu sherei matzinu mitzvos bikurim sheinu nohagas ela ad chanukum mikol malkum, etc. The bottom line is women are chayvin, and women should be encouraged that they should make the bracha as well. Women are just as chayv as men are, and they should make the bracha the same way as men should. A little bit in terms of personality. So the Harzi was reading Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He was the head of the Mizrahi, mostly prior to the Hakamat Medina. He was a very Zionistic fellow, a wonderful Sfarim. The same topic is dealt with in the Tshuvas Hanogas. Tshuvas Hanogas was written by Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the current head of the Aedah Haredus. No, what do you think he says about women? He thinks they're chayiv also. Ha! I know you weren't thinking that. So he points out that first things first, he says, let's say I live in Manhattan, hypothetically, and a tree might grow in Brooklyn, but none grow in Manhattan. So, how hard do I have to try? Do I have to fly out to Chicago and go over to Torah V'Chesed and ask them, can I please have the tree list so I can find the tree? He says, nah, you don't have to run around looking for trees. If you see a tree, it's nice, you get a chance to do it, wonderful. But in terms of chiv, if you see it, you make the bracha. If not, you don't. If a person happens to be going in the days of Nisan, v'choni yiloni to come lovably, omer, etc. You see it, you make a bracha. It's a nice thing to do all the mitzvahs you can. If you go out, be supported, but don't think you have to. And it's very good for neshamas, don't tell anyone. And women don't have to run out so much. That they should stay at home. So he agrees that, in fact, that if they see it, they are chayv in the bracha. Is of his sociological approach as to how it should be done, that's a little bit different. But ultimately, there seems to be agreements from both ends of the spectrum that women are chayv in this bracha, and therefore women should be encouraged to make the bracha, just like men should be encouraged to make the bracha. So that is his opinion there. There are a lot of other interesting topics which come up related to the Birchas Ilanos. For example, there is a certain amount of discussion regarding the topic of what does it mean? And this is, I didn't find the sheets because I'm not much of a horticulturist. It seems that the way trees tend to grow is that there's a little bud followed by a flower followed by a big bud. So what exactly are we looking for here? So the assumption is that we're looking for the bigger bud. So if anybody knows anything about trees, you'll help me out when I'm here looking for it. But that is a certain amount of discussion we have about that. There is a discussion in general about the chiyuv to look at after mitzvahs. So we had mentioned earlier on when we were discussing Gilgulim that the Arizal has the opinion that in order to be misakein the person's neshama properly, it is necessary that the person goes and does all of the mitzvahs possible. This concept might not just be Kabbalistic. The Gemara in Yuma says that Karkafta de la Manach Tfilin, having the Poshi Yisrael begufan, the Ein Lehem Cholek Lo Mahaba. Translation. The head that does not wear Tfilin is considered one of the Poshi Yisrael begufan, people who sin with their body, and that person does not get Olam Haba. The Rif, when he quotes that Gemara, has one minor change. What does he say? He says, "Karkafta below manach tefillin lo olam, having me poshi yisrael gufam." Not if someone doesn't put on tefillin one day. Somebody never puts on tefillin. That person is considered one of the poshi yisrael gufam, and they do not get a chayuk on olam haba. Now, the Ran in his comment on the Rif says that tefillin is no different than any other mitzvah. He says, just like davening, just like benching, if anybody doesn't do any mitzvah ever again, they don't any lehem chilek olam haba. So that seems to be indicating the same thing that we have said. That being, that everybody has to try to do every mitzvah once in their life. there are a lot of mitzvahs out there which people would not naturally do were not for this. In Eretz Yisrael, for example, there's a big tempt, there's a big push that people try to do shiluach hakein. Right? It says in the pasuk, ki kari kan sipor. If you happen to run into a nest and you want the eggs, so you should chase away the birds. So we have in New York, we have many kosher birds. They're called pigeons. Pigeons are kosher and they're everywhere. Pigeons tend to live under air conditioners. That's it. So you look under any apartment building, you go, you look under enough air conditioners, you're going to find a nest with an egg. Few people want to eat pigeon eggs. I don't think I would recommend eating pigeon eggs of the wild variety that we have. So the question is it worth doing it? So if I would read the Chumash straight, it's a ki yikari kan sipar. If you happen to see a kan sipar, that seems to indicate that if you happen to see it, good, and if you don't happen to see it, also not good. But those people who are makbid on this will go out of their way and try to find an opportunity to do the mitzvah, even though I'm not interested at all in pigeon eggs. Also in Eretz Yisrael, they happen to be very into it because it's al pi, the Medrash says that it's a skula for people who don't have children. V'abonim tikach lach, that if a person does shiluach hakein, that is supposed to help it somehow. So there are a lot of mitzvahs out there. Mitzvah shchita, it's another example. According to many opinions, there's a mitzvah to shechnit. So a person can get kosher meat without shechnit. You could buy it in a store. Is there a mitzvah to go out there and shecht your own cow ones? A little chicken, maybe a little something, right? These are all questions. It gets a little bit more complex when you discuss negative commandments. So only 248 of these commandments are positive. So how am I mekayim the negative commandments? Right now, as we talk, I'm not killing anybody. Am I being mekayim the mitzvah of l'sirtzach? Or would it make sense for me to pull out a gun, hold it at someone's head, and then change my mind? Do I have to do that to be mekayim the mitzvah? Any suggestions? So there's a lot of discussion about this. So to take it literally, to talk about all 613 mitzvahs and to say that we really have to try to do them all, you know, particularly when you get into the negative commandments, even the positives, there's a lot of interest. We just read yesterday a good mitzvah that's a good example. V'heishiv es ha-gezeilah asher gozal. One of the positive commandments is that if you steal something, you should return it. In order to be mekayim this mitzvah, you have to steal. Would we encourage people to steal in order that they can return it? Imagine not. Right? One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is that if a man rapes a woman, he should marry her. I don't think we want to put people into the situation of being mekayim every single mitzvah. So it's a question where you draw the line. However, still, even though that we probably do not accept this in totem, or at least we have to explain it somewhat better, when it comes to mitzvahs like this, like Birchas Ilanos, which are relatively simple mitzvahs, then I think to a certain extent we do encourage people to do it. It is in Midas Hasidus. No, there's no Aveira if you don't do it. But still, to the extent possible, we try to do all the mitzvahs as possible. Especially now. Here we are, we're in... the weather wasn't what I was hoping for exactly for this speech, but spring is coming, rumor has it. I read about it in Farmer John's Almanac. He said it's going to come this year, maybe a week or two late, though. And therefore, this is something that obviously when we were an agricultural community, we were more interested in than we are now. But still, the fact that nature does what it does is something that we all have to be grateful for. And this is a good way to take advantage of it. We'll just leave a few minutes for questions if anybody has. Yes?
Does the fruit that is formed on that tree have to be edible? For example, crab apple trees. Crab
apples are big in New York. So I think it has to be edible, even if you're not usually going to eat it. I think crab apples are edible.
Right.
Right. I think some people cook with them. I think so. They are edible enough.
But bushes that have like berries that are just
poisonous. No.
Yes. If this mitzvah is done in Aseh D'oraita or the Rabbanan, for as far as women are concerned, wouldn't they be chayav because it's not D'oraita, even though it's Zman Brahma, it's the Rabbanan.
So you're making an assumption here in your question that
I'm asking first, and then I'll assume.
No, you made an assumption that women are chayav in all the Rabbanans. So I don't think that's necessarily true.
Oh, okay.
So women are not necessarily chayav in all the Rabbanans. Most of them they are. Most mitzvahs. Right, so that doesn't make a difference here. That if it wasn't for Afim Hoyubo Sones, they would not be chayav in Hanukkah candles, for example. However, the women we assume aren't chayiv in this. Even though this is probably derabbanan, all brachas we assume are derabbanan, with one or two exceptions. The definite one is Birchas Hamazon, Ve'achalta V'salvata V'arachta. That's it's for sure the raisa. Birchas HaTorah is a maybe. Ki Shem Hashem Ekro Havu Golol Elokeinu. That might be a deraisa. That might be an asmach. I'm not sure about that one. But besides that, this is derabbanan like all other brachas.
In the
chiton
that you brought, it says that you have to have at least two trees. Nobody else brought that down.
Right. So again, I left out most.
The question, please.
The question was that there is the opinion of the Chidah that you require two trees. I did not bring down any other source that indicated, is that an outlier? So I think the answer is that there are other sources that bring it down, but it's all the Kabbalistic approach that you're doing it for the sake of the neshamas.
But the nusach of the bracha is plural.
Right. So it's interesting. So comparing it to Tefillas Kelim, let's say. So if you go to the typical Kelim Mikvah, it says, if you're toivling one thing, say Al Tefillas Keli. If you're doing more than one thing, you say Al Tefillas Keli. So I think Rabbi Schechter disagrees with that. Schechter's of the opinion that no matter how many you do Al Tefillas Keli. Because it's a bracha in general. It's not that I'm doing that this minute. We are praising God for He created trees. Now He created this tree in particular. I'm doing it by this tree because this is where I indicate. Now I see it. But I think that the fact that it says ilanot, I don't think that indicates that it has to be more than one. But a good question. Anything else? Enjoy the break.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.